Another Monday with Ross and myself. Welcome to the Buffalo Coaches Show, live here on KWKR, alongside my good friend Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. And I guess we can say this, that two straight weeks and two straight unbelievable performances by the Garden City offense and the Garden City defense. We will have Brian Hill here in just a second to go over last week's game and then talk about the last game that it matters, but it's the last game that's either out of conference or out of district before the real fun begins with Mays, Hutch, and Dodge City coming up over the next month. So, by the way, welcome back. I haven't seen you in, 36 hours?
And it doesn't hurt my feelings, tell you the truth. It was kind of nice yesterday. Went out to work yesterday morning and actually knocked it off in about 10 o'clock or so, somewhere in there. Got home, and my son was back from school, and it's one of those deals that, well, let's go out and eat. And, of course, he had to leave early. And so he left early, loaded up the motorcycle and a friend of his, and they headed back to school. Got to actually sit back and watch the Chiefs and Denver and Green Bay.
What a game that Denver-Dallas game. Well, that was.
You know, and I would have never seen, and honestly, think about this. I know what Manning is doing. I mean, this is just, actually it's fun to watch. I'm not a huge Denver fan, but it is fun to watch. And then see what Romo did also. And then, of course, it's always a big play right at the end of the ball game. And I'm going to say this, and Denver fans, if you've got a problem with it, Brian, what's your number?
My number?
Yeah, in case they want to
get me. I get enough phone calls. I don't need any more.
But you know what the thing is, though, that, you know, Romo just cannot make, in my opinion, he made big play. But when it got down to the end of the ball game, that throw that he threw for the interception, I don't know where he was going.
He threw for almost 500 yards, and he was actually outplaying Manning, if you can believe that, through 3.5 quarters. Oh, and then he throws the bonehead interception. But again, with Tony Romo, you're good for one of those a game. So, but just to put this thing in perspective, we won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but Manning has now thrown, I think, 23 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Wow.
And I mean, this is the NFL. This isn't this isn't Pee Wee football, and no offense, like Kids Inc. stuff. This is real life, top athletes. HGH defenders out there, and this guy is unbelievable. And I don't care if you're a Denver fan or not, I've always been a Peyton Manning fan. You know, I'm a Jets fan, obviously, but I'm a Peyton Manning fan. And it just goes to show you, whether it was Montana, Brady, Bradshaw, you can go back, all the great quarterbacks you think of, nobody's been as smart with the quarterback position to be able to read a defense like Peyton Manning.
Well, they had help, of course, with Archie, but Archie not ever being on a winning ball team.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, too, what you like about Peyton, and I'll say this about Eli, too. I feel like about the same way as Eli, unassuming individuals that don't bring a whole lot of stuff their way, I guess I'll put it that way. Thing is, though, that they let their actions, I guess, speak for themselves more or less. And what Peyton, you got to remember Peyton and the shock it was that he was leaving Indianapolis, so that Indianapolis, because they were going to take Andrew Luck, and they didn't want Peyton there to basically mentor him, because the Packers tried to go through that with Favre and Rodgers, and Favre basically said, I'm not here to sit there and teach anybody. And for him to leave and didn't know whether he's going to be back in football or not. And then all of a sudden, John Elway, which I will put down as one of my top three quarterbacks of all time, because Elway was just that good, in my opinion.
He played on a lot of gimpy teams, and he gimped them to the Super Bowl.
But he's a big guy. I mean, I don't know if you really can understand how big Elway is until you see him in person, and he is a big dude. It's just amazing. But, no, good for them. Like I said, I hope great things for Peyton Manning. I really do. I'm not a big Denver fan. I'm kind of a chiefer. I mean, Packer number one, and then kind of a chiefer. And then, of course, with a nephew working for the Broncos, and then my brother, Monty, who's got football tickets for the Denver. So I kind of like Denver.
Before we get to the comments here from Brian Hill on a huge win, that's an understatement, I want to get to something, a story out of the Shawnee Mission West. Did you read this?
Yes, I did.
With Andre Maloney, who apparently collapsed during the game. They actually played the game, I believe, on Thursday, and he collapsed in the game. They didn't know exactly what was wrong, and they took him to the hospital, and he ended up dying I wouldn't say it was an aneurysm, but a blood clot in the brain. And how sad is that? He was heavily recruited, obviously, by KU. In fact, he just committed. Mm-hmm. To KU, and Charlie Weiss actually made some comments. I wanted to shed some light on that, because that's something that unfortunately has become almost commonplace. I'm not going to say it happens all the time, but, and we'll get Coach Hill's thoughts on this as well, but, in a contact sport, and he didn't even get hit, as far as what I read on the play. So.
And he went 63 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And then right afterwards said he was feeling dizzy, and I couldn't feel one side of his face, and darn it.
It's a very sad day. Now, I'll bring Coach Hill on this, and you've been around football a long time. You played at Emporia. You played at the college level, obviously. You played at the high school level. This is, you know, and we keep trying to put all these rules in to protect the receivers and the quarterbacks, but some of these things, it happens, and, I mean, what do you do at this point?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know that any of us know that it was actually football-related either.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's people and kids that die every day, unfortunately, and you just don't know if that had something to do with the game of football or whether it was just something that was hereditary or, you know, you just don't know. And it's a tough situation, and I feel for those guys. I mean, they don't write books on that for coaches, you know, how to handle situations like that. And, you know, being around so many schools out there and impacting so many of those local schools as well. You know, he wasn't probably just known at his high school. He's probably known at every Shawnee Mission school, you know, around. And, you know, for that to not just affect his school, but every Shawnee Mission school up there, and realize that, you know, there's almost 2,000 students probably at each school. You know, his death is impacting a lot of young boys and girls, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers are definitely with them, and hope, you know, we can help them through this tough time, and they can somehow shed some light on it and, you know, maybe turn it into a positive from here on out.
And this is one of the top-ranked teams, obviously, in 6A. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will shed some light on a demolition derby at Garden City. Put on Liberal, a 61-20 win on Friday. They also get set now coming up this week to take on Wichita East. That's coming up next on the Coach's Show, live from Jack's. Going towards the south end zone with the wind behind him, with four receivers on first and 10 and a quick slant. Caught by Tramp at the 40. Breaking tackles at the 30. Up the near sideline, 20, 10, 5, touchdown. The dynamic duel, Grayson Temple to Caleb Tramp. It goes 52 yards to the house. Garden City leads 13-0. See, what happened was all the attention during the week, and welcome back on the Coach's Show, live from Jack's Sports Grill alongside Ross Miller and Mike Pilsup. All the attention all week long, Britton Abbott, Trenton Hammond, Ben Roethlisberger, and Mike Wallace. I mean, that was kind of the everything, and Hammond ends up getting suspended, not even playing, and Britton Abbott looked very ordinary, and we'll get to that here in a second. But let's get to the real MVPs, in our opinion, in the WAC, and we might be a little bit biased, but we'll start with Grayson Temple because that's the easiest one to go right to. He puts up 9 touchdowns, and Ross and I were discussing this too. This could have easily been like a 90-point game. You guys could have put 90 points up on them. That's your offense and your offensive line. Everybody was just flowing. But Grayson Temple had a very special night.
Yeah, it's one of those for the ages, really. I mean, I've never been at a game where a guy's been part of 9 scores. And, it is something special. You really don't realize it when you're in the moment. I didn't even realize it. You know, I just know we're scoring points and know he's doing well and those kind of things. But, you know, you just – no, I'm not sitting there keeping tallies, you know, while I'm
we'll
know,
do
while
that
we're
for
doing
you.
It. Yeah, I know you guys do a great job of that, but he did a phenomenal job, and he just, you know, continually proves how much he's learned and really, you know, just showing, you know, what kind of character and what kind of kid he is. I mean, he's just going about his business, doing what he's supposed to do. He works hard every day in practice. And you know, like I said, he's the most humble kid we have, and that's a special deal when you know he's getting all the press and you scored 9 touchdowns. And the first thing I did when after I talked to him was, he said, "Coach, everybody's making it easy on me of how they're playing." You know, I mean, he instantly gave the rest of his teammates credit, and I think that's the true test of a leader on your football team is that he's willing to deflect that attention and share it with his teammates rather than absorb it and say, "Hey, look how great I am."
You know, and he's one of these guys that doesn't want to pull a lot of attention to himself as you're speaking. I talked to his dad, Bob, on Saturday, and Grayson talks about more room for improvement. And I thought, you know, I told Bob that, and I was maybe a little mouthy when I left the field there because I was saying it out loud that we've seen Grayson now outplay 2 quarterbacks here and who ought to be the WAC MVP right now, in my opinion. But they will go to stats. People will look at all these stats at whether they're up by 60 or down by 60 over whether it's Guymon or Garden City, that Britton Abbott's going to play in the ball game and continue to play so. But I've seen Grayson make some great plays. The thing is, he's got some great reads as he goes down, as he goes through that progression. He's getting some great help from the offensive line, some great grabs too. I'll say this. I saw probably one of the best catches I've seen all year, in my opinion, down there in the end zone, near the end zone there.
Was it by Trenton Hammond? Oh, that's right. No, yeah, it was.
By Caleb Trent. And then what a great run. If you sit there and think about that, that when he took off for the long run, it was just an outstanding run. And I know he was running out of gas toward the end. But, Brian, when you get into a quarterback like this, and this is a quarterback that you finally got to be with for 2 years now instead of just 1 year, talk about your experiences that you've got. You're throwing stuff to him, and he's got to be able to catch this stuff.
Well, he's bringing things to me now. I mean, that's how far we've come. I mean, our conversations last year were just about last play, what happened during that drive, and, you know, we're trying to fix those problems and hoping they don't happen again, you know, when we go out there the next time. And now when we have conversations, we're talking about plays that may happen, you know, five or six plays or a series later, or how can we set this up? He brings me so much more information, you know, back off of the field that, you know, he's suggesting things to me. He sees things before they happen. And, you know, that lets me know that he knows he's in full command of what he's doing and what our offense is doing. And he can look so far, and he's not only processing information of what he needs to do on that play, but now he's taking it and he can process it in the downtime and bring suggestions to me and say, hey, coach, what about this? And, you know, our conversations now on the sidelines are just, you know, they're really unbelievable, really, for a high school kid. And you know, it really makes it fun because, you know, just knowing the struggles that he and I both had last year and the conversations, and, you know, we'd have him, he'd go out and he'd still kind of, you know, goof up a little bit at times and then turn around and make a great play. And, you know, it was just the inconsistency last year. And it's just now, it's just boom, 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 time after time. You know, it doesn't matter what we call. I mean, it's, you know, I know a lot of people could probably, I can give my play sheet to somebody and you could probably call plays just as easy as I can. It's not brain surgery at this point. You know, we're just trying to put our kids in positions to make plays, and he's doing it, and he just recognizes everything that's going on. I mean, I remember talking to you guys early in the year about how things slow down, and I mean, he's picking things out, you know, before he raises his legs and asks for that ball for the snap. I mean, he knows exactly what he's going to do before they do, and that's just comes through his preparation. He's learned to study film better. He understands where I'm coming from. He knows what I'm trying to allow him to do, and he's got a great understanding of what each receiver's good at. And when those plays come in, those are the guys that he's looking for.
That is Brian Hill, head coach, Garden City, joining us here on the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill. It is $1.50 taco night here on Monday at the corner of Campus and Mary in Garden City. Caleb Tramp, and this is a kid that didn't see really any playing time last year, and he comes in, and this, to me, we know how good he is at basketball. That's a foregone conclusion. But football-wise, he's got the stature, he's got the frame, he's got all the athleticism. And here he is. Ross came up to me afterwards after we got off the air, and we even brought this up to you on the postgame, and Ross goes, hey, has this kid ever dropped the ball? I mean, this, it's like whatever liberal dropped probably 30 passes, I think. They didn't help Britton Abbott out much, and obviously it was without Hammond. But on your side, I don't think we saw one drop, and it's not just Tramp. We saw, obviously, a lot of improvement over the last two or three games from Dusty Temple. He caught a touchdown pass in the game. Mitchell Hernandez, even when he's not catching, he's either blocking on screens or doing whatever. But these guys, they don't drop passes anymore.
Well, you know, Coach Riemann has done a great job of working with those guys on a daily basis to make sure that, you know, they're catching balls. And you know, it's just, you know, that's one of the hardest things for a quarterback and receiver to hook up is the hand-eye coordination. And, you know, you try to work on it all summer, but it's still different once you put pads on. And so there's still that transition window. And, you know, I just think that, you know, all phases, you know, the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the receivers, you know, at the skill positions are just playing with such great confidence that, you know, that Grayson knows that he just puts it in the vicinity that those guys are going to come down with it. And, you know, when you can do that and then you can run the football, I mean, you know, defense has got a tough deal, you know, figuring out how they're going to cover one speedy receiver, a giant receiver, but then also try to stop the quarterback from carrying it. And he can still give it to a tailback that can run as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's really a great situation for us. It's the most explosive that we've been since I've been here. You know, we can score from anywhere on the field. You know, there were a couple times Friday night that, you know, into the wind, we wanted to bleed the clock and do those kind of things. And twice in the third or in the second quarter, we had one play drives. And I had to turn and look at Coach Dingle and Coach Tone and say, sorry. But, you know, but we are putting points.
Have.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good problem to have. But, you know, you sit there and, you know, you think you're calling a play that, you know, you're hoping to get 4 or 5 yards, and it turns into 86. And, you know, I mean, it's just phenomenal what those kids are doing, and the belief and the trust that they have in the coaching and how they go out and execute week in and week out. Really here over the last 6 quarters, it's really been a lot of fun.
Let's jump in on the defensive side. You know, that one thing I've noticed, even from the Bixby game, that we're able to penetrate. We're able to get into that backfield. We couldn't wrap up. I think that we might have missed some gaps. I mean, maybe taking wrong angles, stuff like that, getting to the ball carrier. What has Quentin Meade really meant to this team? He doesn't really get his name in the paper. I know that he's not leading the team in tackles, but the thing is, though, that that's a young man that gets in that backfield. He's not the biggest guy in the world when I talk about stature. The thing is, though, he really gets back there and creates a lot of problem, and he brings some brothers with him.
Oh, and he's probably pound for pound probably the strongest kid we have on the football team. And I mean, and he uses that to his strength. I mean, if you're trying to single block Quentin Meade, he's going to make you pay for it. And he does such a good job with his hands, you know, something that he didn't do a week or a year ago. You know, he used a lot of his shoulders and things, and would let guys get into his body. And this year, I mean, he's locking them out, and he's driving them straight back, like you said, in the backfield. And when you do that, you create such spacing that not only for him, but you allow linebackers to run through those gaps as well. And you're seeing Kelton and Nalen, you know, find those holes to make plays as well. And, you know, I just can't say enough about the way that those kids have played. And, you know, that defensive line is very senior orientated, you know, a lot of times. And those guys have really risen up and played very well. And, you know, I just can't be prouder of what they've done. And, you know, I mean, to put pressure and to hold the two quarterbacks that we've held, you know, down that had, you know, almost PlayStation stats coming into our games, you know, to hold them to what they did is just really remarkable.
We're going to take a break. I want to talk more about your defense, specifically the back end. Again, I don't think those guys get their names out there enough. We're going to talk about that coming up on the Coach's Show live from Jack's. All right, back at the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, 61-20 Garden City. Narrowly squeaks one out against Liberal. We're being joined by Brian Hill, head football coach. And we were talking about your defense, and the front seven gets a lot of credit. The back four guys I want to talk about. Let's even throw Dylan Darter in there for a second, because Darter, I said it on the broadcast, should have had a hat trick of interceptions. There was a couple of deflections that he had in the vicinity. Dozier Quarry had a couple early, and he finally got one towards the end of the second quarter. And then Emilio Parr, it's kind of like Bernie Williams. He just sits in the middle of the field, and bam, he's always in the right place at the right time. And Dusty Temple, we can't forget him, and even when Tim Arno's in there as well. So the guys that you have playing in the secondary, front seven's been outstanding the last 2 weeks. But we're talking about really, really good coverage from your back end.
Yeah, and, you know, that's just to make to your point, that's why they play DB, is because they can't catch. So I like to always point that out. But, you know, those guys do a great job. And Coach Dingle has those kids ready to play week in and week out. And, you know, I can't say enough, you know, that, you know, we put those guys on an island sometimes, and they've got to cover their guy man-to-man. And, you know, especially when we're trying to put pressure on the quarterback, you know, they're left out there, you know, to play man-to-man coverage against any route they get. And they just do a great job. They do a great job of communicating. And we think, again, it's preparation, understanding what the quarterback, where the throws he likes to make. And those kids completely understand that going into each game. And, you know, they know when they have an opportunity. And you know, to get our hands on more balls and you know, to finally come up with a couple more interceptions. And, you know, it's 2 weeks in a row we've won the turnover battle. And, you know, I think when you do that, I mean, I think it's no shock that that's why we've won those games so handily, is that we've won the turnover battle. And, you know, if we continue to do that, you know, great things are going to happen. But those kids, you know, they work hard. You know, many of them play both ways. You know, Dylan Darter, as you mentioned, you know, didn't start the year playing that position. He's just tough, hard-nosed kid. I mean, he's highly intelligent. He works hard in preparation as well, and just is a sponge when it comes to coaching. I mean, whatever you say to him, he listens intently, and then goes right back out there and does it. And, you know, that's all you're asking from a kid when you're coaching him.
Real quick, let's talk about some of the other young players too, but this is not necessarily a young player here. Zach Landgraf, guy that hasn't really got a lot of football time, has got into the ball game, made some nice carries also, and then also out there blocking the way for your sophomore running back, Offensive line's doing their job, getting some great blocking from the fullback, also guys downfield, though, but Jared Koster's really starting to bring things on now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Jared we saw during camp, and, you know, I just think he lacked some confidence, and then when he fumbled the ball at Bigsby, you know, it kind of, you know, took a couple steps back there as well, but, you know, ever since kind of coming back and getting into that starting spot back, he's really, you know, proved to be a guy that what he really does is really unseen by probably the natural observer of a game. He's so good in the hole. You know, that's what I think special running backs are. He's got great vision. He makes little movements in the hole that look to be really simple but are not easily done. And that's what he is able to escape and get those big gains for. And he's really doing a great job. And, you know, Zach Landgraf is one of those guys that, you know, had been hurt early on. He had a neck stinger and really took a few weeks to come out of that. And we're really happy to have him back. You know, he's a hardworking kid and, you know, not afraid to stick his nose in there. And, you know, he's really done a good job there at fullback for us and gotten a couple opportunities to carry it, which, you know, we're happy about when he gets that opportunity. And, you know, it just shows that, you know, the number of kids that we can put in there and the depth that we have at that position, has really helped us out greatly.
All right, that is Brian Hill, head football coach, Garden City, coming off a 61-20 win over Liberal, big time. Not only that, it was a conference win on Friday night. So let's turn our focus now to Wichita East. It's a team you beat pretty handily last year at their place. Now they come here, and it's a team that they're coming off a loss to a really good team, actually, if you look in the Wichita area in Mount Carmel. Now, you know, they're 2-3. Coach Byers has them a game under 500. They're looking to bounce back, and it's a team that has a decent offense. They didn't do much against you offensively last year. I think they had like 70 yards rushing, and they didn't throw the football very well. I think their quarterback was like 3 of 13 or something like that. So do you take anything away from last year's game?
Well, last year's game, it was a pretty brutal night. It was very brisk and cold, north wind, you know, on an east-west field. It wasn't real easy night for anybody to bring a lot of offense. But they are one of those teams that they don't have a lot of superstars on their team. They don't have one guy that, you know, carries the load at quarterback or at tailback. They got a bunch of guys who just work hard at it and just try to execute the plays that are called. And, you know, we've got to do a good job of preparing. And, you know, as I warned the kids about today, this is kind of that sandwich game. We're leaving three whack games in a row. Next week starts district play. And, you know, here's a trap game, really, to be honest with you. And we've got to be ready to play and prepare the same way that we have for the previous couple weeks. And not let up because, you know, they do show signs of being explosive. They returned a 86-yard punt return against South a couple weeks ago. They picked up a fumble and scored against Cape of Mount Carmel. They do have the ability to play with people. And they do play a pretty tough schedule. So we can't overlook them by any means. And, you know, it's homecoming for us. And, you know, adds more distractions for home. And so, you know, we got a lot of things that we've got, on our plate this week that we've got to take care of. But it's really just, hey, we got to go back to work. Same thing we've done the previous two Mondays. We got an opponent that can be good, and we just got to be ready to go and play a team that's got to travel 3 hours this time finally out to our place.
Well, I hope we have a great crowd. It looks like the weather ought to be good without the big wind, by the way. But you also, real quick, like about East, is that they could be 3-2 because it was a Hail Mary that beat them on one of their losses also toward the end of the ballgame. This is a pretty good team, you know, that's coming in here. Don't act like that because we went down there, and actually Denton Keller actually took over for the quarterbacking position last year for Grayson's injured foot, and then he actually helped us lead us to a win. But this is a pretty good, decent team. I'm not going to say that. Don't expect and take anything off from last year.
And every game from here on out, I mean, they all count, but you have your three district games. You got Mays, you got Hutch, who got blown out on Friday night. We made the joke that Brian Hill will never shed a tear when Hutchinson loses a football game. So
no, I won't shed a tear when any of our opponents lose.
That's exactly right. Well, Coach, congratulations on a big win. Good luck. We'll see you on Friday night.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Brian Hill. That'll wrap it up, this edition of the Buffalo Coaches Show. I want to remind you, too, just to throw this out there, the girls' tennis team today finishing second over at the WAC tournament in Liberal. Great Bren taking the team title, but Garden City finishing second. The regionals coming up this weekend at Garden City. That is a reminder to everybody. So congratulations, Coach Robinson's team, on a second-place finish at the WAC tournament this afternoon. Good job again, as always, by Brett Erskine back in the studio for My partner in crime, as always, Ross Miller. I'm Mike Pilosoff. Turn it over to AM 1030 KBUF here in about 2 minutes. We'll have the Buster Coaches Show. Matt Miller will join us right here from Jets.